to conquer fear. Hey, it's Pastor John Haggard. Today at Treasure Top, how to conquer fear. What fear is, what fear is not, and most importantly, how to conquer fear so that fear does not paralyze us. Fear is one of the most destructive forces that can literally make someone sick, physically and mentally. And if you'd like to hear other messages on how to make life work when life does not want to work, go to treasuretop.com, and when you are there, subscribe so that you never miss a message going forward. Before we learn how to conquer fear, it's your generous giving that funds our ability to deliver these messages using the Word of God. And what we really want is more for you than more from you. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20:35 quoted Jesus as saying, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." What Jesus is saying is, giving is the overflow of joy in God that gladly and lovingly meets the need of another person. In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." So the blessing of giving is really placed upon you. And thank you for any donation that you are able to provide at Treasure Top. For non-believers, my prayer is that non-believers will be converted to Christians so that they too will enjoy eternal life in heaven. And for believers, my prayer is for the believer to become more energized to fulfill the mission for which God has called believers to accomplish. And your giving helps people do just that. Treasure Top is a nonprofit ministry, and so I ask that you would prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner with Treasure Top by making a gift in any amount, so that we may continue to energize the believer and to evangelize the unbeliever 365 days a year. And remember, if you become a monthly partner with Treasure Top, you also have a ministry of your own, because God uses your monthly giving to help fulfill the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:19, where he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Your monthly gift will help send messages like the one I am preaching today, How to Conquer Fear, to the world through radio, television, YouTube, the internet, and social media. Just go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button, and we'll share more ways you can connect with us later in the program. Father, we come to you today to receive your word on how to conquer fear. The world today seems to be just spiraling out of control in so many ways, but we know that you are in control of all things. Help us to trust and abide by your word, for we know you cause all things to work together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose, for those you foreknew and predestined to become conformed to the image of your Son. Help us, Father, to understand what fear really is and what fear is not. And Father, how we can conquer fear. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. So, how do we conquer fear? That's what we're going to find out. And most of the passages that I will quote from today on this message, How to Conquer Fear, will come from the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, the NASB, unless I quote otherwise. And if you are new to this program, or you are a non-believer considering becoming a Christian, learn more about how you can trust the Bible and what it says so that you don't believe people who will tell you things like, "Oh, the Bible's just a bunch of made-up stories written by a bunch of men." Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That passage means that God knows everything about us, including our innermost deep thoughts that no one else can know unless we tell them. To find out how you can trust the Bible, go to treasuretop.com and under podcasts, search for my message titled, How Can I Trust the Bible? Would you agree that we live in a world today where the level of fear and anxiety has never been higher than it is now in modern times? A Chapman University survey on American fears for 2023 named the significant concerns among Americans as corrupt government officials, global conflict, particularly the U.S. getting involved in another world war, concerns about personal health with fears about becoming seriously ill, losing physical mobility. Crime-related fears were also significant in the list, in particular regarding mass shootings and gun violence. And I would add fears of losing a savings account, losing a best friend, losing a family member, being gossiped about, and fear of failure. While fear can certainly be a true reality, as I just mentioned in the list of significant concerns, today I'm going to give you practical steps on how to conquer fear. So let's jump in. And if you're taking notes today, here is step one on how to conquer fear. And this step is really the most important step of all because you must first determine who the ultimate authority is in your life before you can build a defense against fear. For those of you who have already decided that God is your ultimate authority, these steps to conquer fear that I'm talking about in today's message build upon that authority. And as we build on our foundation of the Word of God, we also need to be careful to analyze fear because not all fear is bad. Some fear is good. Some fear is productive. And some fear is of God Himself. God has put in all of us the good part of fear, which is self-protective kind of fear to help protect us and to serve us. Back in 1933, a well-intentioned Franklin Delano Roosevelt said the words you probably heard a lot over the years, quote, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Those words were spoken during his first inaugural address, and at this time, the United States was in the depths of the Great Depression, a severe economic crisis that had begun with a stock market crash in October of 29, which led to widespread unemployment, bank failures, and economic hardships across the country. In his address, Roosevelt aimed to bolster the confidence of the American people and convey his administration's commitment to tackling the economic crisis. But when you think about it, there is a lot to fear besides fear itself. As long as there are drunk drivers, rapists, robbers, thieves, muggers, carjackers, and other evil people, fear is valid. But the fear I am talking about in step one is based on the Word of God in the book of Matthew, verse 10:28. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples on what it means to be a disciple. Quote, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God is the one who destroys in hell. Persecutors, they can only harm or kill the body." Also reference Luke 12:5, where Jesus says, "But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." This verse is also saying that it is God who is the one who destroys in hell. In short, until step one is decided, all of the other steps really do not matter on how to conquer fear. That's because all of us will die a physical death, and all of us will go to one of two places in eternity, heaven or hell. And if you have not already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the warnings in these passages tell you who the greatest fear in your life should be. And that's the one who can condemn you to hell, not for just a short visit, but for all of eternity, trillions of years. And that one who can condemn you is Jesus Christ. If you are an unbeliever, and you are hearing this message right now, I believe there's a reason you are here. You didn't just accidentally land here by chance. I believe it may be God who is stirring in your heart at this moment. And if you feel a prompting to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask Him to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and to proclaim Him as your Lord and Savior. And let me make something very clear about accepting Jesus as one's Lord and Savior. None of us can save ourselves by repeating phrases. No pastor can save you. No person can save you. Only God can save you. And there's one verse that says it all, and there are many others that speak to this same meaning where Christ says, and listen very carefully, quote, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day," John 6:44. Jesus is saying that it is the Father who draws someone to him, to Jesus Christ, no one else, and not by one's own efforts. Somebody once said, "Well, I just don't believe in frightening people into religion." Well, I'd rather frighten you into heaven than to lull you into hell. The Word of God is very clear about what happens to those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Again, if you feel a stirring in your heart, I believe that is God working in your heart. Now let's move to step two on how to conquer fear, understanding the power of prayer. But you may ask, how do I know God will hear my prayers, and what's the right way to pray to God? Well, let's answer those questions. First, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness that God requires of us. Psalm 50, verses 14 to 15 says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." Second, because only those who sincerely seek God on a regular basis and express gratitude will receive His grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." And Luke 11:13, where Jesus says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And when Jesus says, "you being evil," what He means is that we are all born sinners by nature. We sometimes think horrible things in our minds and hearts that no one else even knows about, but God does. Regarding the question, how do I know God will hear my prayers? And what is the right way to pray to God, since God is the only person who knows what's in our hearts? We must sincerely pray to the one true God from the heart and mean it. And second, we must be completely convinced that even though we are undeserving of it, God will unquestionably hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Jesus says in John 14, verses 13 to 15, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." One thing to know here, if you pray for the will of God for your life, He will answer your prayer. It may not be today, tomorrow, or next week, or even next year, but it will be in His perfect timing. He will answer your prayer according to His timetable, not ours. Sometimes God may think you need to grow in spiritual maturity in a particular area of your life before God will answer your prayer. And also remember this, with God there is a yes answer, a no answer, and a not right now answer. And sometimes the no answer is silence from God. We must be patient and trust in Him who can see what we cannot see. He knows our future. He knows what's good for us and what's bad for us. So He's not going to answer a prayer with a yes for what He sees as destructive in our lives. Like maybe you or someone you know is chasing a relationship that is really toxic, and what you or they should do is to end that relationship. But you're asking God to make that relationship work against His will for your life. So how do we start out in prayer? Here is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:6-15 in the NIV version of the Bible. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Did you hear that part? For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And when Jesus speaks of debts, He is talking about sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If we are unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, God's Word says He will not forgive us for our sins. And since sin stands in the way of blessings from God, we should not expect our prayers to be answered when sin is hindering our relationship with God. Before we move on to step three, the Word of God, on how to conquer fear, let me remind you, if you'd like to hear a replay of this message, including the ending to today's message that's coming up on how to conquer fear, just go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you will see a link to this program. That's treasuretop.com. And there you will also see all of our contact information, as well as other messages to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work. And sign up for our free newsletter. And because we seek to evangelize non-believers that they will be converted to Christians, and for believers to share biblical insights to help guide Christians to fulfill the mission for which God has called them to fulfill on earth, would you consider making a tax-deductible donation in any amount to help us to continue to deliver messages like these? Just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button at the top of the website. And thank you. And now let's conclude this section of today's message, How to Conquer Fear. Step 3 on how to conquer fear, with God as the authority over our life, that's step 1, coupled with the power of prayer, step 2. Next, we draw up a battle plan, and we're going to build that plan directly from the Word of God. And this step 3 includes building a wall of protection around this fortress that's being built to keep the enemy out. And in this case, I'm going to particularly highlight the devil and his minions. They're masters at the art of creating the destructive power of fear. The greatest intruder that we all have in our lives is the evil one, the devil and his minions, who will do anything in their power to keep the truth of God and the peace of God away from believers, and especially away from non-believers, in hopes that they never become believers, because if they do, the devil ultimately loses. Some people think, well, you know, the devil's a has-been, used to be, no longer active, but that's not true. A careful review of God's Word says the devil is alive and active. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Prowls about is present tense, meaning existing in the here and now. And that means we must beware, on guard at all times. There's nothing that the evil one and his minions enjoy more than to instill fear, uncertainty, and doubt in your mind. Because in a state of fear, you're boxed in. You're afraid to move. And the control of your life, in many cases, is being manipulated by the evil one controlling your life. It's like when you are in a car. Whoever controls the steering wheel determines the direction of where that car will go. If you give the steering wheel to someone else, in this case to the evil one, it's the evil one who controls your direction, not you. So let's draw up the actual battle plan. This is step 3 on how to conquer fear. Let's say you needed brain surgery. Would you go to someone who has already operated on 1,000 brains, one who has wisdom and knowledge specifically about brain surgery? Or would you go to a plastic surgeon who has studied the brain but has never actually performed brain surgery? Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. You would want to go to a brain specialist who has already performed hundreds, if not thousands, of brain procedures. Likewise, to conquer fear, we need to start with a specialist who knows all about fear, who has conquered fear and death, and that would be Jesus Christ, as proven by his resurrection from the dead. And we find that solid foundation that I talked about a moment ago in the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Proverbs. The writer of Proverbs is credited to King Solomon, one of the 19 sons named in the Bible of King David, who was king of Israel. Solomon was also, you could call him, the general contractor who built the temple that God commissioned him to build. Solomon reigned from 971 to 931 BC and was the wisest person in his day. That knowledge given to him by God, as recorded in Kings 4:29 to 31 and 34. Quote, "Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, and his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Now, where did all that wisdom come from? Again, from God. So doesn't it make sense that if we are seeking how to conquer fear in this step three, that we should also seek the counsel of the one who knows all about fear, God himself? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fear of the Lord, spoken to in this verse, actually means reverence for. God does not want you to fear him by feeling that God is looking to strike you down for everything you do wrong. John MacArthur comments in his Bible commentary on the first 9 chapters of this book of Proverbs, quote, "While the unbeliever may make statements about life and truth, he does not have true or ultimate knowledge until he is in a redemptive relationship of reverential awe with God." John goes on to say, note the progression here in the book of Proverbs. 1, teaching about God. 2, learning about God. 3, fearing God. 4, knowing God. And 5, imitating God's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. End quote. Also know, if we rely on other people or our own feelings to conquer fear, we will lose that battle because there's no wisdom in feelings. You know why? Because feelings lie. Do you remember when I said in another message that we lie more to ourselves than we do to anyone else? It's true. Using feelings as a basis for decision making is like telling the brain surgeon, "I think you should start your incision here on the lower left of my skull and not on the top of my head where you're telling me you want to start." So when we need wisdom and discernment on how to conquer fear, step three is always go directly to the source of all wisdom and discernment, the Word of God. The book of Proverbs is one of 66 books of the Word of God in the Bible. And it's essentially a book that's how to wise up and live. And we find 5 purposes listed in the introduction to the book of Proverbs. Verses 1, 2 to 4, and 6. Purpose number 1, to know wisdom and instruction. Purpose number 2, to discern the sayings of understanding. Purpose number 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Purpose number 4, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. And the last of the 5 purposes of the book of Proverbs is to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. To build the solid foundation that we are speaking about is step 3, is to go to God's Word. And we are reminded of this foundation that we spoke about a moment ago to conquer fear. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And on top of the foundation of Proverbs 1 is another verse found in the Word of God. It's in Philippians 4:6-7 in the New Testament, quote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." End quote. And all that I've just said is step 3, using the Word of God in the construction of a fortress to begin to conquer fear. Before we go to step 4 on how to conquer fear, let's look at the letters of the word fear for a moment. F-E-A-R. 4 letters that stand for false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. You know, fear got its start in the first book of the Bible when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Genesis 3:10, quote, "And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself," end quote. This is Adam speaking to God after God had told both Adam and his wife Eve that they could eat from any tree of the garden, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:16-17. Since the fall, which is the sin that entered the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, there has been fear ever since. And in regard to false evidence appearing real, like we just discussed, fear often arises from perceived, not real, threats. When we look in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was seen walking on the water, the disciples of Jesus thought he was a ghost. Verses 14, 26 to 27. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Step 3 on how to conquer fear is to always go to the source of all wisdom and discernment, and that's the Word of God. Today we learn the first 3 steps on how to conquer fear. First, proclaiming God as the authority over our lives. Second, understanding the importance of prayer and how to pray. And third, taking our written instructions for life from the Word of God. Next time, we'll look at the remaining 4 steps on how to conquer fear. And remember that you can download this message right now, free of charge, or any of my radio messages by going to treasuretop.com and selecting the podcast tab. You can also subscribe there for free so that you never miss another message. And would you also consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top to help us continue to broadcast God's Word on radio, TV, YouTube, social media, and the Internet? We are listener-supported, and we pay for all of our programs to be aired. There are 3 ways you can give your tax-deductible donation. You can go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button right there at the top of the screen. Or you can text your donation with the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. That's the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can mail your gift to Post Office Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee 37221. That's P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee 37221. And just want to say thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to spread the saving grace of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today on what we have learned so far about how to conquer fear. We know that you are in control of everything in our lives, and ultimately we have nothing to fear. And we know the way that we can instantly contact you, and that's through prayer and through your word, because your word is alive and active, as your word teaches us. And Father, for those who have not accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you will move in their hearts, for we know that it is you who controls outcomes. We have no ability to save ourselves. Only you can save us. You are the one who ultimately decides who will be saved. And Father, I pray for the non-believer who may be feeling a stirring in their hearts. Maybe they've never felt that before, and that it is you who is stirring in their heart. And I pray that they will accept your Son as their Lord and Savior. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.